Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we do. You know, stuff and junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
My name is Ruthie.
This is Jami.
This is Anna.
And here's a story that I've been curious about to hear. So, Anna, tell us your date story.
Are you really curious about this? Oh my God, so funny.
I would start with his full name.
Jami, Anna was just saying how we keep talking over her. Let her talk.
Case in point, Ruthie, this is the topic I was going to talk about. You see what I get treated with?
I truly apologize for leaving you by yourself and for yourself. Yeah. Yeah. In the second episode.
Even
when I have my own opinion, it's like your opinion's wrong. So.
On that note, Anna, go.
Such men logic.
I actually don't know his full name, but I think I do now because he popped up on my Facebook.
We're not going to detox anybody, right?
It was a joke.
It was a total joke. Anyway, so I went on a first date, my first date of 2024. And I went to my good old trusty dating app called Tinder. Because newsflash, ladies, the guys are on all the apps. So you're not going to get a different version of him just because you meet him on Hinge versus Tinder. So I met the guy. He was really nice. The one thing I really liked was he was kind of pretty. We matched. We said, hey, he had a shirt of a TV show that I really liked. So, you know, we had that in common. He was really quick and say, hey, let's meet up for a drink. Okay, that's awesome. I love it. You took initiative, got that through. So we met up for a drink, and I thought the date had gone well enough. You know, I pretty much had to keep the conversation going. But, you know, he was receptive and all that. So I was like, all right, well, you know, maybe someone was nervous and me, you know, can never shut me up unless I'm on the show with Albert and Jemming. So we had a good conversation. We set up a second date for the week after just because I was super busy. And so when that Monday came around and we were going to meet up, he had said, oh, I'm sick. Sorry. And I was like, okay, that's it.
trying to tell you ahead of time.
Exactly. It was like a couple hours before the date was going to start. So I know I talked with Ruthie about this and she kind of opened my eyes. And I was like, hey, you know, this isn't right. It was a red flag. So I actually called him out on it and I was like, hey, you know what? I thought we had a great time, but it might be one-sided and that's fine. It was great meeting you. I wish you best of luck. And he replied back immediately saying, yeah, I think that you are looking for something serious and I'm not. And I was like, that set me off because I was like, first of all, your profile had the same thing that I had. Long-term, open to short. Fine. That means that I'm willing to have the conversation with you if we're going to do a short-term casual thing. He never brought that up. So I was like, if you would have made it to a second date, we could have talked about that. And then we could have decided whether we want to jump into something casual or try to see, you know, hey, let's call it what it is. And that's it. But this guy couldn't even communicate that. And I told him straight up, I was like, honestly speaking, if you would have told me that, I could have been open to it. But now you've lost your chance. So, yeah, it was really frustrating because I was like, you're not even you sat there and we had the date and then you just canceled because you're quote, quote, unsick. And then, like, you're sick, but you couldn't have just said, hey, you know what? I'm looking for something casual from the beginning. That would have solved so many issues because there's nothing not saying that I'm not open to it, but you got to talk about it. Yeah, exactly. I want to meet up for drinks. Hey, even if it's a casual thing, we should be able to meet up like at least two times before we're going to hook up or whatever. You know, we're too old it should be fine. But
age, totally interrupt, but quick question. How rough, what's the age range of this guy?
Oh, he was the same age as I was, so 35.
I thought the current generation, your generation and below and newer, are more about like, I'm going to be upfront about who I am on my dates. So this is
That's how I was. Yeah. I straight up said everything. I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm really transparent. I'm not going to play games. Like, you know, this is blah, blah, blah. I kind of laid it down. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time. So First of all, I asked, are you a Trump supporter? Because I forgot to ask that before the date, you know? I just got to make sure, you know, because I'm showing up here and, you know, where were you January 6th? So it's just like these things that I was pretty, I didn't ask that one, but I did ask, are you a Trump supporter? I did ask
very important questions.
No, these are all good questions, actually. That's
pretty yeah. Good.
Right, I want to get out of the way. I don't want to go 3 months dating and then find out that they like Trump or something.
Now, hold on.
How do you feel about the border situation? Wait, what?
Now, hold on.
Wall or no wall?
Yeah. As somebody who is not in the dating scene, is this a thing nowadays for daters asking about like politics?
I kind of have to. It's election year.
No, for you, yes. But have you heard from other people doing the same exact thing?
I wouldn't say like, yeah, actually, no, yeah. I've had it from other friends who are in the dating scene. And they do explicitly do ask that.
Yeah, or if it is, it's really smart because it gets to the point.
Yeah. Well, it's on the dating profiles too. It'll be like, if you don't vote for Trump, vote, swipe left. Or they're pretty big, like, oh, if you got vaccinated, I don't want nothing to do with you. So it's pretty like out there already.
Okay. All right.
So
I guess it's the nature of dating nowadays. Like, you don't really give time. Like, there's not really a lot of time to get to know people immediately. It's just like, don't waste my time. Like, here's all the information up front.
Yeah. And those two questions, you the like vaccine, it, you the Trump it. Thing, you'll know a person, you pretty much know a person what they're like right away now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? There's not much gray area now with those two questions. Now,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it gives me a lot of context. So that's why I ask those questions.
It's pretty good.
And
my frustration with this guy is he could have just like said, hey, yeah, maybe we'll play it by ear for the next date, but he set a second date. That's my frustration with him. Like, if he wasn't into it, if he thought like, oh, you were looking for something different than he was, he should have just been upfront and been like, hey, let's just play it by ear next time. Like, I had a good time, but I'm just not sure if it's a good match.
It sounds like he's just playing the game. Like, he's like checking out his chances. So he's like putting himself out there for X amount of people, whatever. That's why the second date thing. That seems to be my impression, at least.
Yeah. Well, he's a loser because he missed out. No, I'm just...
Yes, he did.
I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I think I'm not hung up on it because it's like, all right, whatever. But it's just like, I don't know where it went from, oh, you want something really serious and you didn't even have the conversation. One, again, on another note, I've had casual hookups where they're like texting me like, hey, how are you doing? Or something like that. Just to kind of...
And you're like,
so yeah, funny. Like stop saying good morning. We're just hooking up. But like, I don't think I didn't even do that. I'd just be like, hey, like I like every like because we met on a Monday and then we were gonna meet another Monday. So in between that, I said like, hey, a couple times, and I was trying to get to know him because even then I'm like, do I want to hook up with you? And didn't even give me the chance to do that. So I was like, okay, well then, how are you gonna get to that next step if you're not even trying to get to know the girl? You know, it's not just, I don't know. And I'm pretty easy. I'm not going to lie. I'm a pretty easy person and didn't even get me.
Where's the red flag guy? Ma'am, sir, red flag.
Red flag everywhere. So, I mean, I thought I was pretty transparent. I wanted to get everything out of the way as much as I can on the first date because I'm not going to, like I said, I'm already busy enough where I'm like, if I'm making time for you in my schedule, I would like for it to be worth it.
Right, of course. Naturally.
I will agree to that assessment. Yeah.
Yep.
That's my date story. There you go. Mm-hmm. Tinder 1
0.
All right. Jiaming, what is your topic for this week?
Oh, okay. I have I'm going to talk about my favorite type of social media videos and my least favorite type of social media videos. And they're kind of related to each other and stuff like that, okay? So my least favorite type of social media videos, I'm sure you guys have seen it all the time and stuff like that, is when the foreigner, the white guy, the brown guy, the black guy goes to Asia and stuff like that and goes to a restaurant, the hidden camera, and they order food in Chinese, Korean, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's the most annoying thing in the world. Because it's 2024 now, guys. We get it. You know what I mean? We get it. The Rosetta Stone's been around for a long time. Okay, we get it. You learn the language, okay? It's fine. You know what I mean? But every time, maybe it's an algorithm thing, but I keep constantly get fed these things. You know what I mean? To me, it's like, okay, I get it. This is too much about you, too much me, too much of like, oh, look at getting the reaction from these old Chinese Chinamen and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I get it.
But they get the clicks, Jermaine. They get the clicks.
I know. It's so irritating, Matt. I don't know how you guys feel, but that's the most irritating thing ever. You know what I mean? For me.
I love kind of showing off.
Yeah, no, I like it though when they're like show like the people in Mexico no. and they speak perfect Spanish and like, like jaw drop. What? How can you speak better Spanish than me, sir? Okay, I get it. I don't practice enough. Yeah. I love that for you.
I would say it's just like a new form of a prank video.
Really?
Yeah, I would say
a little bit. Yeah,
I mean, it's a prank.
Okay, hold on. So
making fun of people.
So no. It's a new form because you know prank videos is like seeing people's natural reaction to something you did, right? So now we've evolved into like just a white guy speaking in Chinese, mm-hmm. and seeing people's reaction is the evolution of this kind of video. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but my whole thing is like again at the beginning of it, I said it's 2024. We get it, Matt. These videos have been around for like forever. We get it. You know what I mean? You learn a language. It's relaxed. It's okay. You bought a ticket. All right, a plane ticket. That's fantastic. Or you live over there. That's great. You know what I mean? Yeah, just international travel.
Can I share one that I saw recently?
No.
So there's this white chick, blonde hair, blue eyes, kind of.
I know. The blonde of Korean? Oriental or something.
Yeah, pearl of the Orient, something like that. You've seen the video, yeah, right? So
where do you think I got this bit from?
Where the video is like these Chinese kids who are like is she an alien? You know, because of subtitle, like because they never seen a white chick before, you know, kind of thing. And like, how do you speak our language? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. There's a lot of this is actually. I don't know. This is maybe just angry at my Chinese fellow Chinese people. I mean, I want to yell.
Are you just jealous because they speak better Chinese than you?
No, but my whole thing is those Chinese people
leading on the villainy. Yeah.
No, the Chinese people shouldn't be that gobsmacked.
Guys,
learning.
You know what this means, right? You know what this means, right? We can never learn Chinese because then Jiaming's just gonna Batman.
Yes. I know.
But it's also it all speaks to a larger whole thing about how I don't know why Chinese people are so marveled at the whole white people.
I know
other people
because it's not an easy language.
No, that's not my reaction.
I'm not
moving away from the language part of it at all. But just like when they see like white people in China, some of that were pretty white people, some of it, they do stop them and take pictures of them. It's not about the language at this point too. You know what I mean? I've gone through airports where they've stopped, like, you know, women, blonde, black women, and something like that, and just take pictures of them, thinking that they were either celebrities or that they just don't see them very often. It's just very, it's weird. It's just weird.
That happens in the Philippines, though, like in the rural parts of the Philippines. Yeah. Like last time we were there and I was walking around with my boyfriend, I mean, obviously, like he's white, Albanian. Like they all looked at him and were like, oh my God, like, can we take pictures with you? Hi. Like they all literally circled him and he felt like a celebrity. He's like, and the teachers were just letting the kids, like, God knows like who this man could be, you know?
Yeah.
And they were just like, yeah, sure. Like, we don't know who you are, but you seem like you're a foreigner. So you must be a celebrity. Like, why else would you be here?
All I'm saying is planes have been around for a long time now. You know, I mean, cars travel, you know, mass transportation, you know, people travel now. It's not that big a deal.
No, but for some people, that isn't true at all, Jiaming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you got, like, people in provincial areas, especially in China, you know, in the Philippines.
As well. That's having access to them. You know what I mean? I understand that. You know what I mean? People are not financially able to move. Right? I understand that. But they understand that planes exist.
No, but seeing foreign people for a lot of places, they never see them.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. I'm going to talk about my favorite type of social media video. But and it's actually related to all.
He was losing this one. That's why he wanted to just move on.
I thought we were on a time limit.
No, you still
Which
got
one
a,
is it?
You still got a good 7 minutes, Jaime.
Okay. I got another 10 minutes.
There you go.
Let's go.
But go on.
I didn't know it was a persuasive. I didn't think we were doing a persuasive thing. I was trying to convince you guys about it. But anyway, I was talking about my favorite type of social media video, which is actually also related to language. Have you guys gone on a deep dive or like a YouTube deep dive about polyglots and stuff like that?
Uh-huh. I've heard of it. Yeah.
I love that.
It's a lot
of
fun. If you Google or YouTube polyglots, that's actually a lot of fun. When people learn multiple languages and stuff like that.
And they switch between seven to eight languages, just talking to people like back and forth. I think that's the coolest thing.
It's very, very cool. So it's like a lot. One of the type is also kind of like a prank video in the sense that it's kind of out in the wild and stuff like that. They'll go to like a big city where a lot of different, visitors and stuff. And they'll just switch that person's language and stuff like that. You know, like Russian, Hindi, whatever, and stuff like that. The other kind of is when they do these chat video chats and they can randomly go to different parts of the world and they always find a person, you know, they always be able to speak that person's language. That's a really good one. You know what I mean? That's really cool and stuff like that. So the Polyglot, I guess it might be a recommendation, but Polyglots.
But
if you do it on YouTube,
but those Polyglots,
it's very cool.
But those Polyglot videos are exactly the same thing as the other videos that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Which is they show up and they go like, look how many languages I can talk about, I can speak. And then you get people's reaction.
The thing is, a polyglot, by definition, is just more than one foreign language. You know what I mean? They're talking about, like, some of them can do, like, dozens of different languages and stuff like that. It's very impressive, man. It's very cool. Mm-hmm. Especially, the other kind of video is, like, when two polyglots get together and they switch and stuff like that. It's very, very cool.
But here's the interesting thing. When the YouTube algorithm shows me these kinds of videos, it's always what you describe, right? But those people are also polyglots. It just happens to be the fact that the ones that they get the clicks for are for Chinese or for Japanese for some reason.
Not the ones I see. So it's usually just one person going doing the same bit over and over again. But,
No, that is exactly what it is. But
those
people,
like that white guy who like would go to like get his nails done, or he'd go and get order food. And, like,
they love ordering
just,
food.
Like, start.
They love ordering food.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Those people, even though those videos all they do is Chinese, they're actually polyglots. They actually know more than just Chinese. They know multiple languages, but for whatever reason, their clicks are coming from the Chinese session.
I don't know.
That's the impression I got.
I think people are always fascinated by people who don't look like they would speak a certain language.
Right.
Yeah, but have you ever seen this goes to my last point, actually, my proposal for a video. Have you ever seen, what's the whitest country that speaks English you can think of? Is it Ireland or Scotland or something like that? Have you ever seen like Asian people go there and speak English and stuff like that and do like a hidden video of it?
It's called Harry Potter. What's her name? Cho
Chang.
Cho Chang. She had an Irish accent. Or
the
Scottish
actress,
accent.
The actress did. Yeah, the actress had an Irish accent.
Yeah, there you go.
But
no, it's not very.
But it seems like white. It seems like.
But you know what I'm saying? I've never seen like Chinese people go. They know English and they go to some foreign country and do like hidden video order in English. And the people are not like ops.
But I feel like that's a cultural thing. Anna
mentioned.
That's
not always true. That's not. Although I think it comes from a different place. Like when Americans kind of look at non white people who obviously come from an ethnic background, they always go, oh, you speak English really well.
Yeah, that annoys me.
Like
you're trying to drive at? What I'm getting at?
That's really cool. Except like it comes from a different place, right? Whereas like if you go to a different country, like Philippines or China or wherever,
I'm just saying we should go to Ireland and order some food at some restaurant. Is all I'm saying.
Like Guinness.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like. It's they do those videos once again because they get the clicks, and for another thing is people are just curious what other people's reaction are to something that, you know, surprises them. Like there's this other video that I saw where it has nothing to do with language. It has to do with this small girl in a backpack, and she's like asking help to like, oh, can you get me up to the bar up there so I can like do push-ups like you, kind of thing, right? And then she gets up there, she pretends, oh, I can't do this. And then she goes, oh, let me try one more time. And she goes up, the guy helps her go up there, and then she does all these gymnastics moves on it, right? And then the guy gets surprised. Oh, wow, you were really good. That's a video. Not a language, but it's the exact same thing where you get the reaction.
Yeah, flexing a skill.
But the thing is, I understand people are doing this to get clicks. I understand that part. That's not the question.
My question is, why does it annoy you, though?
That's the question. That is the question.
Oh, you're asking us why we think it annoys you?
I'm trying to figure out in real time, man.
Anna, do you have an opinion on why this annoys Jiaming?
No idea.
Yeah.
Ruti?
It's just a quirk. It's his quirk.
Reverse imperialism.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Like you
honestly,
said earlier,
no,
Anna,
that's a good point. You know,
it's because of colonialism.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just so much of me. It's just so much of it smacks me as just look at me. But I feel like your beef is not so much with the local people
anymore.
Like I said, there's a difference between one language or going through one restaurant and stuff like that, and then it just feels like polyglot or that type is a real unusual skill or 1% kind of a thing. You know what I mean? It's something that's worth kind of there's a celebration to those videos. You know what I mean? That's not applicable in the other ones.
But let me try and apply this then to a couple of questions here. So if a white guy speaking Chinese is talking to a white guy speaking Chinese in a video, will that annoy you?
No.
But if a white guy speaks Chinese to a Chinese person, said
reluctantly. No.
The thing is, like I said, in these polygon videos, it shows the absolute exception of the human experience. You know what I mean? It's like they're really pushing them. I mean, showing something that's really sort of really truly spectacular. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Maximizing the human brain and ability and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Ones are just like not so much.
So how about this? So a person goes to a restaurant, orders some food in Chinese, like it's in a Chinese restaurant, right? And then they go, oh wow, you speak Chinese very well. And then he finds out that the other person is from a different region of China who speaks in a different accent. And then he speaks accent really well. And then a Japanese person goes up, oh, you speak Chinese pretty good. And then the same person speaks in Japanese to that guy. Wow, you can speak Japanese also.
That's pretty impressive, yeah.
But the videos that I've seen where the guy who goes to Chinese stuff and then speaks Chinese and surprises them, that's the same guy. That's the same guy who can speak all these different languages.
Well, I can't speak to the video that you saw. I can't only speak to the ones
but
I saw.
It seems like the only thing that annoys you is when China is involved.
No, not really. They do it in like Korean and Japanese and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, don't be racist.
I feel like your beef more is with the people reacting to it. Like, why are you surprised?
No, I mentioned that before. Yeah.
Like, why are they so impressed?
Yeah. I think that's what annoys you.
I mentioned that part too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We are leading to a world where we should all probably be learning Chinese now, just like once upon a time people needed to learn English. I mean, Chinese are taking over the world, right?
Yeah, I feel like the reason why this annoys Jia Ming is because his people is embarrassing him. Is that what it is?
I said yes to that part.
Okay.
I said yes to that part. That's not a surprise.
So that is the reason why this video is annoying.
Yeah, partly, yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go, folks. We've solved the problem. Okay. Thanks for listening. You can find this podcast on Instagram and Threads at Stuff Junk Show. Oh, I'm sorry. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube, because we're on YouTube now, folks. You didn't know, at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
And you can find me on Instagram at RuthieGrace13 and Ruthie's Cats.
You can find me on social media, JIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whowhatworstwhy.com. Before we go, Ruthie, did you need to go? Or did you want to toss in your recommendation real quick?
I got 2 minutes.
Let's give our 10 listeners some recommendations for this week, starting with Ruthie.
Dang it, I forgot my recommendation. I didn't write it down.
Well, it's on our chat.
You assume I read everything.
Because Ruthie's been sending me like links, and I'm like, are you using our chat as a depository for your recommendations? And she's like, yes.
Oh, that's smart.
So, in a way, and then I forget, that it's there.
Well, I'm looking through it now.
3 hours later.
Now I remembered. So I don't know if I've recommended this before, but there's a YouTuber called, and his YouTube is called Bald and Bankrupt. So he's, just to piggyback off of talking about polyglot, he's also somewhat of a polyglot. He is a British man who travels the world, and he goes to like the grittiest places on the planet. He doesn't go to like the nice regular touristy spots. He loves going to like the most dangerous places and like walks through neighborhoods by himself with a camera. He speaks Punjabi and Urdu and Russian and Spanish, and I think he speaks a little bit of French. I'm not sure, but it's pretty interesting. Like, he'll go to these like former Soviet countries and like go to like the grittiest parts of that and like just talk to the locals, and they're all like, oh, cool, you speak Russian. Or like he'll go to India or like Pakistan or parts of it, and he'll speak Urdu or Punjab, and they're all like, oh, okay, cool. And like he'll go get a haircut even though he's bald and just get his head shaved. Which, it's a pretty cool, like, traveling YouTube series. It's been going on for, I think, maybe 3-4 years now. I started watching him during the pandemic. Pretty cool, very very casual, laid back type of, I don't give a crap, type of guy. Very funny to watch. And he goes to interesting places that you would never see or never even want to see if you were visiting any of these countries, and he goes to those places that nobody wants to go to. So yeah, Bald and Bankrupt. Go check it out.
Oh, I have myself a mute. What's the name again?
Bald and Bankrupt.
Bald and Bankrupt.
Bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Oh, I was just looking at the YouTube on mute apparently. Yeah. And
the longest pause ever.
I was waiting for Albert to say
is the show over?
The guy that John Miguel, I think you were referring to is Shalma. Shalma NYC. Hmm? Yeah, no.
What?
Okay, anyways.
No, you faded out. I didn't hear what the question was.
Shalma. The white guy who goes to Chinese restaurants and speaks Chinese.
Oh, I don't know his name.
I think it is Shalma.
You're probably not saying it with the right tone.
Yeah. All white people look the same to me.
Okay. I'll put it in the show notes. How about that? Okay. Anyways. Next. Or Ruti, do you want to leave right now or you're good?
Yeah, I do need to go. So okay. Peace have out. A good night, guys.
Bye. Good night, Ruti.
This was fun. Good night. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, Jiaming, do you want to go next?
My recommendation is not really a recommendation. It's sort of like a celebration. You know, Akira Toriyama passed away March 1st, but they announced it last week.
Mm-hmm.
The guy created Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and stuff like that. So just shout out to him and stuff like that. You know, he was only 68.
Yeah.
Really, 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 really young, man. And when you the thing about Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z is like when you talk about like the greatest or the most influential Japanese pop culture thing ever, it's up there with Godzilla, right? Pokemon, Godzilla, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece. It's up there. So shout out to him, man. Sucks.
Yeah, I used to actually watch those Dragon Ball Z in pure Japanese, no subtitles back in the 90s.
I didn't want to get into this.
I would go to a local Japanese rental VHS store, like that's like nearby where we live, Jiaming. And I will record them like the moment they come out. You know, usually they release it like a month after Japan. This is in the 90s, folks. I know you guys get a day off in streaming.
You know what? But, since old man Albert mentioned this, I'm going to mention this as well. I didn't want to be a hipster and stuff like that. But yeah, the people that commented on the guy's life talk about, oh, we used to watch it on what was it, Cartoon Network, Funami, whatever. Hey, F you, man. People like me and Albert put in the real work. You know what I mean? We're the real ones. You know what I mean?
The real heroes here.
Yeah, we're the real heroes. We're watching on VHS. They. If you're lucky, it got translated. If not, you got to find one Japanese friend to translate it for you and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And you go some sort of back alley to get it and stuff like jerk somebody off to get the VHS. F you. We're the real. We're the real Dragon Ball fans. You know what I'm saying? God damn it! You and your cable and F you. F you, kids.
Yeah, but if you think about it, John Mang, we only needed to wait like 4 years and then it was on national TV.
Dude, we talked about this before, but now we get anime day and day. You know what I mean? They premiere it in Japan one day. Next day, you get a completely perfect with translation, some of that. HD, that 4K. It's unbelievable the world we live in. But we're the real ones. That's all I'll say. We're the real Dragon Ball fans. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Watching on VHS back in the day. Anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't have a recommendation.
Okay, Albert.
I thought that was the beginning of a bit. I thought you were going to say more.
No, I actually don't. I'm thinking about it. I haven't really consumed anything besides Dune 2.
You don't have to. Remember, your recommendation doesn't have to be movies or TVs. It can be whatever.
Oh,
how about this?
I recommend you two to let me talk more when I'm giving my opinion.
No, it's not really much. We're not going to do that. It's for the listeners, Anna. They get them over you.
Also, we're not going to do that.
I kid. That's part of a bit. Wow.
Wishful thinking is what. Same with Christmas. Same with Santa.
I recommend that everyone should try to get at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep.
And eat whatever you want.
But isn't that actually really good news? Because you can eat whatever you want, but as long as you have enough sleep, you should be okay.
Honestly,
that's gonna kill me because I don't get enough sleep sometimes.
I'm be honest. When I heard that news, it sounds like heartburn. You know what I mean? I eat whatever I want, and then I sleep too much, and I get heartburn. My stomach gets upset. It just sounds all bad.
But doesn't that explain a lot of things? There's that one story about that one guy who's eating nothing but McDonald's, and he's perfectly healthy, right?
Is he though?
He is. That's the whole point, right?
Let's wait till the end. You know what I mean? Let's wait till the
end. He was where was that? He was gonna be like I have it here somewhere. But recently there was a news article about this guy who's been doing this. I eat like nine Big Macs a day or whatever. And look at me, I'm still alive, guys. And I think
I weigh 800 pounds, but I'm still alive. I'm still here.
The guy was skinny. The guy was skinny and healthy.
There was another one that's like, I've eaten McDonald's for a month and I lost 6 pounds. I was like, shut up.
Yeah. I guess the question now is how many hours of sleep do you get a night? That should be the follow up to whenever they mention this kind of things. Because maybe the study really has a thing going here. Mm-hmm. As long as you have enough hours of sleep. You're good.
The correlation's always like, if you get enough sleep, you're going to have beautiful skin. You're going to feel rejuvenized. You're going to feel young. You're not going to get diabetes. Like, it's all this thing. Sleep. So I'm just going to sleep for the rest of my life.
And also, my whole thing is, I don't want people to take this kind of news. Let's just say it's true and stuff like that. I don't want people to look for or take that news as, hey, I can eat whatever I want. Just get enough sleep.
Oh, true.
You know, I don't think that's the right mentality.
Proceed with caution.
And like I said, for the two guys you just mentioned that eat McDonald's every day, let's just wait to the end. When his heart explodes out of his chest at 50 and stuff like that.
I think this guy that in the news was like in his 70s now.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's something like that where it's like, but then like I said, this kind of explains a lot of things in how people who have lived unhealthy lives live a long life. Mm-hmm. You know, and people who then somehow they do, right? And maybe it really does really come down to the sleep thing. This might be something, guys. This might be something. But of course,
is food coma considered sleep though?
But in today's current climate, it's like sleep is a luxury, right?
Yeah, people should sleep though.
Yeah, if you can't get enough of sleep, it's because you have two jobs and you're overworked, whatnot. And the people who are like really wealthy and well off can get as much sleep as they want. So it does seem like it makes this study kind of makes sense.
Jokes aside, I do think people should get more sleep. I mean, I try to get, I think at least 6 hours. I try to go to sleep by 11.
Yeah, I average 4 hours a day, you know, which is ridiculous now that I think about it. So it's like.
That is really low. Do you try to get extra sleep? I know they say scientifically you can't make up sleep, but do you try to take naps on the weekend?
I take naps all the time. Like on my breaks, I'm on a nap. And somehow I'm able to like have dreams in my 10 minutes of a nap. It's just bizarre. I've conditioned myself to I can have dreams in a 10 minute nap. You know, so it's
that's
like
deep REM sleep.
Yeah, but in a span of 10 minutes, I didn't think it was. I think that was possible. But I think
it's hard. But
you're that tired.
Yeah, apparently so. Because I only get 4 hours of sleep or less.
What about you, Anna? How much sleep do you get?
I think I average about 6.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Something like that.
You try to catch up on the weekends,
so you
too?
Meet the middle.
I nap all the time, though. Yeah. I'm always napping. If I'm not doing something, I'm napping. So.
Yeah.
So you meet the minimum, see?
I barely. I think it's like 5 to 6 hours because I know I go to bed like at 11 or midnight. And I'm trying really hard to break that habit, but I also wake up like at 7. So I don't know.
All right, moving on. My recommendation, I have to lead myself into my recommendation. So here's the story. So, you know, there was a movie that came out over the weekend called Imaginary, right? Scary movie, blah, 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 blah. I saw it. It's fine. You know.
Let me translate that. People shouldn't go see that.
No. I'm not saying that. Come on, this is me we're talking about, right? I'm not saying that. Okay, it's fine.
I can hear the tone. You heard the tone, right, Anna?
I heard it. Thank I heard you. The sassiness.
Okay, fine. Let me rephrase that. It's fine. See?
I heard it.
Somehow it's worse.
No. Anyways, point is that.
I want to see it less now.
So I read this article from Collider.com where he goes, Imaginary, ending explained. What's going on with Chauncey the Bear? I'm like, okay, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it turns out this wasn't like what's going on with Chauncey the Bear. It really is more of like a review of the movie. I'm like, hey, I didn't want to read an article about a review. I wanted you to talk about your opinion on what happened to Chauncey the Bear, right? So the big picture, as they abbreviate articles nowadays. He goes here, don't waste your time on Blumhouse's latest boar fest in Imaginary with his lackluster plot and uneventful execution. Despite being ambitious, Imaginary fails to deliver enjoyable horror entertainment and offers a lackluster ending. The last 30 minutes of Imaginary take a somewhat interesting turn, but overall it disappoints as a horror experience. Now, this reading the article, it seems more like it wasn't campy enough. It didn't have like these fun moments in the movies, right? And I'm thinking, like, is that all people are looking at nowadays? Like, it isn't enough to be just a generic, derivative, not scary, you know, movie that we've seen decades now. We've had these kind of scary movies for decades now, right? But nowadays,
Is that the one where the trailer has a slow a pop song, but they play really slow and a lower key?
I'm not sure.
Yes, it is.
Well, I mean, I did answer that. That's a joke because everybody does that, right? Yeah, okay.
I know, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. So it seemed like this review only got interested in the movie once the mythological plot heavy section comes in, right? The world building aspect of it. That's when this movie is kind of interesting. But the rest of it, I could care less of more. So. Is this where we are at now as moviegoers, mm-hmm. where we in general terms here, a lot of people are, all they care about is the world building, the mythology thing, the give me a reason why I should keep watching, and I don't really need to see generic stuff. Even though the generic stuff is perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
You know, like this is something that when you go to USC to study filmmaking, this is the kind of movie that you would start off with. This is the kind of movie that, hey, in order for you to be a competent filmmaker, you need to be able to do A, B, C, which this movie perfectly does, right? It does A, B, C of what you're supposed to do as a filmmaker. Yeah, it's derivative. It's generic. You've seen this before, but everything they do is very competent, right? So competent by itself is not enough anymore nowadays. So my recommendation is get over yourself, okay?
Oh my God, like, thank God, like, yeah, I agree.
Like, just because you don't like a generic movie doesn't make it a bad movie. Just because you are more interested with the world-building stuff that MCU popularized with their how do you connect the dots, you know, to a bigger story, who cares? You know, it's like, if that's all you're looking for, you lost the magic of filmmaking. You lost the reason why people make movies, to tell a story in a visual form. If you're that person, get over yourself. That's my recommendation. Get over yourself. You lost the magic of what it means to watch a movie.
Super aggressive.
I feel like we have this recommendation a lot.
Yeah, and lately I've had to fall back on the recommendation so many times because it's just plastered on the internet over and over again nowadays. And come on, give unoriginal stuff a chance. Don't just dismiss it because you've seen something else like it before. A person who is 8 years old going to the movies for the first time, this might be their first movie, and heck, they watch a competently made movie, you know. And then now they can go back and look at other stuff that you already seen, but they haven't. So don't ruin it for them because you're telling them, "Oh, that's a bad movie." You know.
That's really hard for people. It is really hard for people. Yeah.
It's just gotten worse as things have gone. The years have gone. And I really think the MCU is part of the problem. You know, they made everything so connected. Now everybody has to be, give me a reason why I need to invest in caring about this movie. No, movies can stand on their own.
And the thing is, when you first mentioned this, when you first started this recommendation like 20 minutes ago, I thought basically the way they constructed the article is very much influenced by the MCU because they clickbait it by mentioning, oh, explaining the ending and stuff like that.
Yeah.
By that sort of phrasing, that's trying to tell me, oh, there's some sort of like like one of those post-credit scenes or something like that, or like a scene that's connected to a larger universe and stuff like that. Yeah. So just them formatting their clickbait that's actually a review is very much influenced by the MCU of it all and stuff like that. So that's my impression of what you said.
Yeah. Now, does the movie have world building at the end? Yes, it does. Is it interesting? Yeah, I think it is. Does it need to have another movie? Not necessarily. Yeah. It ends somewhat in a cliffhanger, spoilers. But at the same time, if...
What comes after?
We had movies like 30 years ago, 40 years ago that always end in a cliffhanger. Freddy's still alive, guys. Yeah. Jason's still alive.
Yeah.
Did you need to see a next one? Not really. Right? This is exactly that. You know,
what comes after a teddy bear, though? Was it like a fire truck or something like that? What's the next? What's the next boss? What's the next villain?
For me, explaining the teddy bear is a spoiler. Okay, I can tell you this. After the recording, but not right now. Yeah,
it wasn't a serious point.
Yeah, so my recommendation: people, get over yourself. Just enjoy a movie as is. It doesn't have to connect to a different, to a wider universe. It just watch it as is, and don't crap on filmmakers who are just doing a competent job. Crap on the filmmakers who are not doing a competent job.
And you know, I saw the whole.
Yeah, go on.
I was gonna say, you know, I saw the Holdovers this weekend. It's a pretty good movie.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah,
I just mentioned it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
didn't need to be 2 hours and 10 minutes, but it's really good.
No, it didn't.
I was more invested than I thought I would be.
Yeah, see, this is interesting. Okay, so the Academy and the critics put a lot of praise on the Holdovers. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me, this is a kind of movie that you would have watched in the '70s and on a TV, right? It doesn't seem extraordinary. It's very, very competent, very solid drama, character-driven drama.
Mm-hmm.
But this is exactly the opposite of what people look for in movies nowadays, which is like world building and mythology and like how does it connect to a bigger universe? And this is the opposite of that. The Academy voters managed to get over that and go like, yeah, that's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it makes you wonder, like the regular sci-fi Joe nowadays, would they appreciate the Holdovers for being so simple?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, my recommendation is get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This was episode. Cheer
it up. We did it again, guys. Another perfect podcast. People yelling at each other, people yelling at me. Our calling people out and stuff like that. Anna yelling at me for not like
dogs barking the bark around. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. The dogs are involved. We did it again, guys.
We are amazing.
Yeah.
As the barking continues.
Gold stars all the way around.
This was episode 749 of the Stuff and Junk Show. Bark, bark, bark. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who With Worst Wear production. Yeah, but I mean, like, this kind of movie was, if it came out in the 80s and 90s, people wouldn't bat an eye. It's like, it's another scary movie that they show in theaters, you know. But nowadays, people are just like ragging on it. Oh, it's not original enough. It doesn't do too much.
Blah, blah, blah. Somehow the bar is set high and low, if that's possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, guys?
What are you going to do? Yeah, but I thought this was perfectly fine. I think if you were like doing chores and have it running in the background, it would be perfectly fine.
Wow.
It's not a bad movie. It isn't like aggressively bad where you're just complaining about it. It was perfectly fine. So okay, all right, then let's go eat dinner.
All right, guys, peace out.
Good night, y'all. Thank you. Bye.